Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Rose with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
It's one of my favorite beats all time. Like, no joke. No joke.
Can you name the song?
Till 93 Till. 93 Till. Classic.
NBA Street? Classic. The video game?
Oh, yeah. NBA, I think NBA Street. I think it just being a kid, just watching hoops with the beat playing. Like, this beat plays for over any highlight. You're cruising down the street, top down, windows down. Your fiance's girlfriend, hair just blown in the wind. Wife's hair just blown in the wind. You're cruising. I mean,
fiance
seriously.
And girlfriend.
Fiance, girlfriend, whatever it is. You know what I mean.
Hey,
93 Till Affinity, man. This
keep
is a classic beat.
Going. I got a quick six pack right here before we get right back into Warrior stuff.
The Warriors are playing so well.
I know.
I hear Steph Curry.
So happy.
No, I hear that rejoin. I hear Steph. I'm telling you, man. I feel good about this Warriors team. Wasn't that a feel-good win, folks? 888-957-9570 to blow a 31-point lead, to survive in regulation, to win that game with Draymond and Steph on the bench watching Potts fouled out, and Kuminga, who heard all the rhetoric last week and all this nasty dialogue about who JK is, and he shows up in not one, but two, but three straight games. Damn, I feel good about the Dubs. Woo!
All right, quick six-pack of random stuff. Quick six-pack. 15 to 20 seconds on each topic, Bonte. I'm going to throw them at you. Number one, USC, Lincoln Riley. They're irrelevant.
Yes, they are.
What? Number one.
Yeah, they lost to Washington? Yeah, they're irrelevant. Lincoln Riley is who he said it was. Lucas Alexander sell out on him, and when they first hired him, I said, Lucas, be careful. Be careful giving all this guy the money. He left Oklahoma. He left Oklahoma because he knew they were going to the SEC and he didn't want the smoke. Whatever. USC, they've ruined that program. They're an afterthought.
All right, line him up on Warriors. Quick six-pack here. Number two. Penn State, Ohio State. I mean, big turnover right before halftime. Your thoughts?
Big turnover before halftime. That may have been the worst goal line sequence of offensive plays I've ever seen in my life.
God.
James Franklin cannot win the big one. And remember when Clemsoning was a thing? They said, oh, you're Clemsoning, because Clemson could never win the big game.
Yeah.
They're Clemsoning. By the way, they got smoked by Louisville at home. Wow. ACC race is wild right
15
now.
15 to 20 seconds.
You see them chanting the fire James Franklin as he was walking down the tunnel at him?
And then he yelled at the kid, and he was like, what's your name? No, what's your full name? It's like, dude, get out of here.
He's a top five team.
You know what? James Franklin, they're the new Clemson. They can't win a big game. They had the right tackle boot going in motion on fourth down. What were you doing? And
the environment was awesome.
Yeah.
The environment was awesome.
Right. 9 o'clock kickoff. Wow.
All right, couple
number
more.
Number three.
All right.
Sorry.
SMU is in their first year in the ACC. Do you know that they're three wins away from the ACC title game, and their only loss this year was to a top 10 BYU team?
Yeah.
They're getting into the playoffs.
They might. They beat the hell out of Pittsburgh, who was undefeated in Dallas. I mean, in Dallas, Texas, great environment. SMU is back. SMU, come on, man.
I'll be honest. I look at that SMU offense, and I think about Miami's penchant for giving up big plays on defense. I really do not want to see the Mustangs in the ACC title
game.
Look
at you.
Yeah, Miami's going to be one and done in the playoff. We know that.
Well, that defense is awful.
Number four.
Number four.
Bryce Young. He got a win. Good for him. Like, honestly, I saw the kid smiling, and I said, you know what? Good for him.
He's smiling in the locker room after the game, man. Just give him some weapons. Leggett is something. Leggett's a player.
You like him?
Oh, I do. I love, man, the way he talks.
South Carolina.
I love Leggett. I love him. He had a good game yesterday.
All right. Number five.
Number five.
Bob Costas announced that he's retiring from broadcasting at 72 years old. Bonte, you are a huge Bob Costas. I obviously love Bob Costas. I didn't think he was great this year in the playoffs. But retiring on top at 72 years old, your thoughts?
A hell of a career. One of the best to ever do it. He's on my Mount Rushmore of just, in terms of studio host, play-by-play voices. He could do any role. He played any role. He was Mike Tirico before Mike Tirico. Olympics, football, basketball, baseball. Well-deserved, man. I'm going to miss Bob Costas. We're getting older. We're getting a lot older, man. Bob Costas was my soundtrack. Growing up, NBC, when I think of NBC, it was Bob Costas in our biggest moments, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the finals, whether it's the OJ 94. Who handles this like Bob Costas?
I think The Last Dance for a lot of younger people made them realize, like, because he was doing a lot of the commentary during the Jordan stuff. They're like, whoa, this is the Bob Costas. Like, yeah, at like 30 years old, he's been this guy for literally 40 years. All right, last one.
Number six.
This is just a fun one. In honor of the election, Bonte, you could pick the NBA, NFL, or Major League Baseball. And we will get back into the Warriors in just one second. But you could pick any of the three. Is there an individual that you would vote to be the president, if you will, the commissioner, if you will, of that particular sports league? Can you think of any one off the top of your head?
Yeah, Steph Curry, NBA.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's a humble superstar. Every player respects him. Like, you don't hear a bad thing about Steph. He'd be well calculated, and he'd think about what would be best for the league. There's no better leader that we see in sports. When we talk about leaders in sports history over the last 30, 40 years, there's Brady and the way he led, and there's Stephen Curry and the way he leads. So it'd be Stephen Curry running the NBA. No, hands down, I don't even have to think twice about it.
I like that.
About you?
For me, the NFL, it might be Tom Brady. Like, I'm listening to him yesterday during the Jared Goff game.
He was really good.
Oh, dude, he was amazing.
He's getting better.
What kind of blew me away is, like, and this is why I'm viewing Jared Goff a little different. Like, he was very critical of Purdy. Now, I don't know if that baked into that is the fact that they stuck with Purdy and maybe didn't, or stuck with Jimmy and didn't go to Brady. I don't know. I'm going to take it on face value. He was praising Jared Goff's ability to throw in the rain and the way he was managing the game. Just everything about Jared Goff. Clearly, Tom Brady likes Jared Goff in general and was so impressed with Ben Johnson, with Dan Campbell, with Jared Goff, and, man, when I listen to Brady, to your point about him getting better every week, he loves football so much.
Yep. Well, also, God, he loves, I thought you were going to mention the fact that how critical he was of Jordan Love when he threw the pick six.
He's not wrong, though.
And he made another mistake. And Brady said, look, when you make decisions like this, it's a bad decision for your offense. It's a bad decision for your team, but it's a bad decision for the organization. You have the organization on your shoulders. So when you're processing and you're thinking about time and situation and down and distance and decisions on every single throw, you have the weight of the organization on your shoulders. And Tom Brady really bringing home that point, hammering home that point about that. I was like, I don't think I've thought about it like that. Like every single throw. The organization is on your shoulders when you make these throws and your decisions. And so when you make bad decisions like Jordan Love has been prone to do ever since that divisional round playoff game, and I love Jordan Love as much as anybody, but he makes some horrendous in-game decisions, throwing game-changing interceptions, and that lost a pet game yesterday. So Brady being critical of him while praising Jordan, Jared Goff, Brady's getting better and better by the game as an announcer.
I think one thing that Brady, Manning, now Mahomes, they do really well is, hey, this play's dead. And even if this guy catches this screen or whatever, like, we're going nowhere with this play. Let's just live to see the next down. Mm-hmm. On that screen play, Jordan, just throw that into the ground.
Yeah,
throw
I'm
that into
you.
The ground.
I'm with you.
Like, it's such a... a net loss play, no matter how you look at it. Not every play you're going to salvage like that. And I think that's where Russell Wilson got himself in trouble the last couple of years, is trying to make a super extendo play on every single play. Purdy's getting a little better at it as the weeks have gone on.
No, he is getting a little bit better at it. But Brady's getting better in the booth, being critical. And Jared Goff, the heater he's on right now.
Jeez.
Jared Goff, look. That experience of losing the NFC Championship game, and we forget that he helped lead the Rams to a Super Bowl, and they had to go to the...
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Superdome, and what an NFC Championship game. They go to the Superdome and win an NFC Championship game. This team is built different, man. Like, we're looking at the Lions, and I don't hear anybody say, ah, it's Jared Goff. Ah, I think Jared Goff has earned the respect of a lot of people around the league and a lot of fans around the league saying, yeah, he can lead them to a Super Bowl.
They will throw the ball around the yard if need be. But the reason why I love watching Detroit is, like, they got a lot of Harbaugh in them. Mm-hmm. In the sense of, like, we're going to jam the ball right down the middle of the field, and I dare you to stop it. And we're going to go with our two running backs and this elite offensive line. I mean, Penne has been a grand slam.
Yeah, Penne Sewell.
I mean, well, and then they got these other guys on the O-line that are just fantastic. I was so impressed with their offense yesterday, especially because Green Bay's defense has been very good this year.
Check this out. He's connected on 30 straight passes to Amara St. Brown without an incompletion. He also became the first quarterback in NFL history to complete 80% of his passes over a six-game span.
Wow.
Goff said after the game, it's probably my best stretch of my career, and he's not even satisfied. So they're not satisfied. They're turning the page quickly. They have the Houston Texans on Sunday Night Football next week. That's going to be a fascinating showdown between C.J. Stroud, who hasn't played his best football. And it just shows that when you have wide receivers in and out of the lineup and you have offensive linemen who can't stay still, like Larry Tunsil, who's called for the most false starts in all of football,
that's crazy.
You're going to struggle at times. And C.J. Stroud is struggling. He is struggling. There's no doubt about it. So the Lions play really good football. There's something I was going to look up. Lamar Jackson, because you're bringing him up during
the
break.
He's so good.
The Baltimore Ravens, I don't know how they're going to work Deontay Johnson in. And I'm also looking at them defensively. Marlon Humphrey's going to come back. Eddie Jackson's been out at safety. What will they add at the deadline? Because this feels like, with King Henry and Lamar Jackson, oh my gosh.
Am I a prisoner of the moment to say that, like, if Kyle Hamilton keeps this up, he's going to have to play another 8-9 years. But, like, we're looking at a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
He's playing like it.
I mean, he's unbelievable. He is unbelievable. And then Derrick Henry, I already knew he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. What he's doing with the Ravens is just, because I think there were a lot of people who were like, I don't know, what's it going to look like? It's like, I think it's going to be good, guys. One of the greatest running backs of all time with one of the greatest running quarterbacks of all time. I think they're going to figure it out. I love watching Baltimore play.
Well,
they're one of my favorite teams to watch.
Well, Lamar Jackson, you talked about last week, you know, is Zion Williamson, is he mesmerizing? And
yeah.
I look at Anthony Edwards as, well, Lamar Jackson on the football field, maybe the most mesmerizing player in this league.
And he's an MVP.
Mahomes, we know who Mahomes is. And I may still rather watch Lamar Jackson play on Sundays than Patrick Mahomes. And that's a strong statement. Look at what Lamar's done. All right, that was the number three defense. Rolling into town, the Denver Broncos.
They were very good.
Very good defense.
With some elite corners.
They dropped 41 on them. Lamar Jackson, it was his fourth career game with a perfect passer rating. It tied Ben Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning for the most in NFL history. So you're in the category with Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger for the most perfect passer rating games in NFL history.
I would not have guessed that.
All right. He was 16-19. It threw for 280 yards and three touchdowns. Zay Flowers is open all day long, it felt like. But the ball fakes that Lamar Jackson can handle. You know, the play-action passing. He was 5 of 5 for 157 yards and a touchdown on throws that traveled 20 yards in the air.
I mean,
he's throwing the deep balls so well. The deep routes. I mean, Lamar's just letting it fly. This guy, there's some other numbers I saw last night where he's in a category with Brady and Breeze and Roethlisberger. This guy's rewriting the history books.
But here's the part where I get frustrated with the rhetoric regarding Lamar Jackson. Everything is considered null and void to a large segment of people, fans and media, because he doesn't win in the playoffs. And it's like, all right, like, he's had some shortcomings in the playoffs. There's no doubt, right? That doesn't, like, that doesn't negate everything he's done for 17 game weeks, 17 game schedules, year after year after year. He's going to be a 3-time MVP.
Yeah.
He's not even 30.
That's crazy.
Here, I'll take it a step further. I consider Ed Reed or Ray Lewis, I would probably defer to a Raven fan, as the greatest Raven of all time. Yep. I think we're watching the greatest Raven of all time.
We might. I was thinking about that, too.
Were you thinking about that, too?
Sunday, I'm watching the game.
Ray Lewis is the guy I think of, and Ed Reed, number two.
My whole girl, Sarita, who does radio out there in Baltimore, I met her at the National Association of Black Journalists Convention. She's an OG Baltimore fan. Orioles, Ravens, so I always go on her show with Glenn Clark out there in Baltimore. And when they came out here to the West Coast, and the way they feel about Lamar Jackson, they call him, that's our son. That's our native son, Lamar Jackson. The number 8 jerseys out there go crazy, whether it's purple, black, or white. The number 8 jerseys are selling off the charts out there in Baltimore. And he's doing things that a lot of people knocked him for doing. He's throwing from the pocket. He's playing quarterback.
Turnover-free ball.
Turnover-free ball. He's not just running. He can run when he wants to. Now, last week, he didn't even practice. All he did was study the film. He played the number 3 defense in the league, and the Denver Broncos are hitting everybody. They're shutting everybody down, and he dropped 41 on them. So, I'm telling you, the most impressive performance I've seen in Levi's over the last 2 years, and we've seen Patrick Mahomes, we've seen Joe Burrow, and we see Lamar Jackson. I can't get Christmas night out of my head and how quick Lamar Jackson looked. And how explosive he looked from the pocket. Throwing the ball, running the ball. I said, damn it, I don't want to play that team in the Super Bowl. I was actually happy to play Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Believe it, I may have been the only one. I was happy to play KC in Las Vegas because I didn't want to see that guy again.
For some reason, I thought you were going to enlist Jacoby Brissett on that one. Or maybe the Colt McCoy game.
The Colt McCoy game was special.
He did look like Montana.
He was special.
Let me ask you one more. I know we're going to get back into the Warriors. One more question. Do you believe in the San Diego LA Chargers?
I do. I believe in them.
I will always call them the San Diego LA Chargers.
I believe in them.
Because you've been very...
critical of Justin Herbert.
Just more skeptical than most.
It's Jim Harbaugh. That's what I believe in. I believe in Jim Harbaugh. He said something in their post-game locker room. To go into another man's house and impose your will. He says somehow, what is the terminology he used? Somebody help me out on the text line. He says something, it warms something around the heart or whatnot. The team started laughing out. He said it was a Harbaugh-ism. It was something that only Jim Harbaugh would say. But they believe in that guy. And what they do in that locker room is they just give each other high fives. Harbaugh's giving high fives. Herbert's giving high fives. Bosa's getting high fives. They went to Cleveland to beat the hell out of them. I mean, the game wasn't even close. So Herbert, with this young wide receiver core, and Quentin Johnson and Ladd McConkey and Josh Palmer, I wouldn't sleep on the Chargers in the AFC. They've got my attention. And it's all because of Jim Harbaugh. And that's why I always say the Raiders, I think the Raiders dropped the ball here. Now, Nick Friedell has a tweet. Cousin Nick, he said... He has a tweet that popped up on my timeline. I've been meaning to read
Nick
this.
What did Cousin Nick say?
Cousin?
God, how's he doing?
I guess he's not doing too well because the Bears are losing. The Bears are losing. He's not doing too well. They thought they were going to the playoffs. Hell, I thought they had a shot at the playoffs.
I was very skeptical of Eberflus.
Cousin Nick, I cannot believe the Bears didn't hire Harbaugh when they had the chance. The answer was right in front of them, and they messed up again.
He would have been the ultimate Chicago Bear coach.
They should have hired Jim. The Raiders should have hired Jim Harbaugh. The Cowboys should have fired McCarthy and hired Jim Harbaugh.
God, I love seeing the Cowboys lose.
I mean, Jim Harbaugh is why I believe in the Chargers. And I think they got some action in the AFC. I look at their schedule. They got Tennessee at home next week. Then they play Cincinnati at home. With that defense, they're going to get to Joe Burrow. Then they have a big-time Monday night showdown against the Baltimore Ravens November 25th in the Harbaugh. The NFL, man.
It's the best.
The NFL,
it's the best. It's the absolute best.
The NFL is just so unbelievable. It's really must watch. Just like the Warriors are right now. They're must watch television. Like, what do they have in store in the nation's capital today?
I am so pumped for this Warrior game. Does anybody care about Jordan Poole anymore, one way or the other? Just
do you?
I really root for Jordan Poole. Like, yeah. I do. I legitimately, like, he's going to be one of those guys 10 years from now, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, gosh, we couldn't make that work.
I care about Jordan Poole still. I'm kind of, I want to see him have a successful career.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I have no negative vibes with JP. He did play terrible at times, but he was also really, really, really good. And I feel like he was more a victim of his circumstances that he couldn't control other than, like, his actual, like, play. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I would like to see him get out of Washington and go to, like, a team where he can actually be good and be on a good team, because Washington just seems like a team that's perpetually stuck in nowhere's land.
Well, Spadoni brought up the Lakers, and he brought up D'Angelo Russell, and that did kind of get my attention there. But they have a young team in Washington, and he's a leader on that team, and we'll see how it plays out. You know, I don't know if this correlates. Maybe an old-school fan, but after watching the Showtime little parody on HBO, Winning Time.
Yeah.
Norm Nixon comes to mind for some reason after watching that, because Norm Nixon was playing alongside Magic. They win a championship, but obviously there was some, like, no, I'm the point guard. Wait, I'm the point
friction.
Guard. There was some friction there. That's not a like for like, but obviously there was friction with Jordan Poole on what he wanted, maybe what the Warriors wanted, and what happened that last year with Jordan Poole. We don't need to revisit that because the vibes are good, but we know what happened. It's out there. It's almost like he's got this Norm Nixon feel to him, to where Norm Nixon gets traded to the Lakers traded him to the, not to the Bucks, not to the Celtics, not to the Rockets. They traded him to the Clippers, right down the street. And he's kind of irrelevant the rest of his career. Like, he got his numbers, but he's kind of the forgotten Laker, and he was irrelevant. I hope that doesn't happen with Jordan Poole, where he helps the Warriors win a championship. We go from money time, to him asking Steph how to pop a bottle of champagne, to looking at Andrew Wiggins, you're getting the bag, I'm getting the bag, to playing in D.C. for the Wizards where nobody's watching.
I thought we had a splash, bro. Like, a guy who's going to be on our team for 10 to 15 years. I know that's tough in the NBA specifically, but that, yeah, that's what I thought we had. What did you make of Draymond Green praising all of the young Rockets the way that he did?
Let's listen to it. Let's listen to it.
They changed the game. They were great. They brought energy. They brought force. They got us on our heels. And then Jonathan Kuminga showed why he is Jonathan Kuminga. Kyle Anderson and Loon down the stretch was huge. BP some big buckets. He doing a great job of running his team while Steph is out. Yeah.
Draymond Green, how about this? How important was J.K. Saturday night, Draymond?
He's very important. Number one, he can match the athleticism of all those guys. A-Man, Tari, Jabari, they are athletes. And A-Man's a freak. And Tari Eason got one of the best motors I've seen come through this league with skill. You know, you've seen some guys come through here with, like, great motors and no skill. He got skill. He work hard. But when you're facing guys like that, you need a JK, because not only could he go get his own, which he can, he showed down the stretch, or every time we needed a bucket, we gave him the ball, he went and got it. But like I said, from an athleticism standpoint, he's just as athletic, if not more. And so to match that physicality and athleticism was huge. And so, you know, that in situations like that, you know, you definitely need a JK. Obviously, we need him more in other situations as well, but you definitely need him in situations like that.
It just tells me that Draymond's in a great space right now. He's in a great space. Malik's highlighted it. Fezzi's highlighted it. You've highlighted it. A lot of people have highlighted his leadership, his podium game. Now we get the podcast, and he's talking about OKC, and we'll see OKC on Sunday. So that'd be interesting. But he's just in a good headspace. He told Fitz and Pookie, look, man, champion to change. I'm changing. I'm trying to be a better leader. I'm trying to be better with the referees. I was awful last year. I let the team down. I let the organization down. I want to be better. I want to retire here as a member to go to St. Warriors. I want to help these youngsters. I want to help JK become an all-star. So, look, man, Draymond's playing some great basketball off the court. But his leadership has been equally as impressive, Shasky.
To go down the rabbit hole, he's bringing up, how do you pronounce his first name? Thompson.
Oh, Amen.
And then how do you pronounce his brother's name?
He's Assur.
Assur.
Yep.
The fact that they grew up in San Leandro, you know, just outside of Oakland there, and then obviously moved to Florida afterwards, I'm just blown away how good he is. He is really, really, really good. And it was obviously a rookie last year, and to come out of this area, like, that's pretty cool. I'm pulling for him. I actually really like the Rockets roster.
Yeah.
I don't like Dylan Brooks, but I like the Rockets roster.
Moving forward, the Rockets, they play better when Şengün and VanVleet's off the floor.
Well, he got, from what I saw after the game, like looking at the
Rockets coming out to play.
The Rockets' point of view, I guess he got benched.
Yes. I mean, he wasn't playing well.
Why? Like, that's kind empty, of, he empty, killed the Warriors last year.
Empty calories, though. Empty calories. Look at the style of play. They were down 31. 31. And the Warriors, what they wanted to do was like, we're going to run up and down, especially with Şengün at center. And the Rockets went into the game, got these numbers here. It's really weird. With all this young talent the Rockets have, look at these numbers coming into the game. Going into the game, they were 29th in field goal percentage. They were 27th in pace of play. They were 23rd in three-point percentage. They're 23rd in points per game. They were 29th in assists per game at just 20 assists per game. 22nd in steals, 28th in blocks. So they're playing slow despite having a slew of athletes. What flipped that game? Şengün went to the bench. VanVleet went to the bench. And what happened? They started playing faster.
And they attacked the rim.
They attacked the rim. So play fast. Thompson, Tari Eason, Jalen Green, Cam Whitmore, play fast. Even the Holiday brother got some run there. Yeah. He got 16 minutes.
Was that, which Holiday brother was that?
Aaron Holiday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Aaron Holiday. So
I like their roster, but this goes back to the Warrior conversation, which, like, I like the Warriors roster, but they're playing like a team. Mm-hmm. And I saw for long stretches, clearly whatever they were doing out there, the Rockets, it didn't fit the style of play. And then when they got Şengün off the floor, it felt like the key opened up for them to attack. I mean, Thompson, how many shots did he get at the rim in the second half?
Plenty, because he was forced to so much full court pressure, and the game got chaotic there. So he had 11 rebounds, and he started checking the basket with reckless abandon.
I thought we were playing good D, too.
Yeah, no, Tari Eason as well. He could get up there, man. Tari Eason's a nice player. 35 minutes off the bench. So I think Houston moving forward, and Ime Udoka, who loves isolation basketball. We saw the Celtics in the finals. My turn, your turn, your turn, my turn. The Rockets with Şengün and VanVleet, they're going to have to make some choices here. VanVleet has a club option next year. He's making $40-plus million. I would flip him in a heartbeat right now. Right now.
He's making $40
million? Yeah, he signed a two-year, like, $85 million dollar contract. Wow. He's got, like, a $40 to $44 million club option.
First quarter of the game, it's VanVleet and Dylan Brooks out there. Dylan just plows someone. Just absolutely plows somebody. And, like, turns over and starts, like, arguing with the ref. And him and VanVleet are just crying to the ref. I'm like, oh, God, I can't stand these two.
So I think they're going to move off of VanVleet. For some team, they see that club option saying, oh, we could just wipe away the money. Club option, we decline. VanVleet's a free agent. I think they should move off of him. He hasn't shot the ball well at all. He's a small guard, and he's not the quickest guy. He's not athletic, and they play too slow with him out there. That's one adjustment. It is Şengün. You got to figure out who he is and what he is and how he fits moving forward, because Jabari Smith Jr. can play. That young man is good.
Oh, I like him a lot.
Playing a small ball five with his athleticism and length.
Yeah, he's long.
Yeah, so I think Houston has a philosophical problem here moving forward. They play 27th in pace of play with all those athletes. That's a joke. That's a joke. Come on, do better,
Ime. I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
But they need a point guard that matches what all those guys can do. If they can get a nice facilitator, I think the Warriors could use another point guard. They could.
And the rumor is Steph Curry is questionable. It's not a rumor. He is questionable, which means he is closer to playing.
Be back for the Boston game.
That'd be Wednesday. We got plenty of South.
Is that game on Wednesday?
Wednesday, 4:30.
So is that ESPN?
ESPN at NBC Sports Bay Area.
Sorry. NBC Bay Area, my bad.
NBC Sports Bay Area. NBC Sports Bay Area.
Who is the ESPN lead broadcast this year?
Mike Breed, Doris Burke, and it's been...
Because JJ's not there, yeah.
It's been Richard Jefferson.
Richard Jefferson.
So,
You know what? I'll give Richard Jefferson this. I do think that he really does study the whole league and watches everything. And I do think he loves basketball. As much as I can't stand him, he isn't the worst broadcaster.
No, he's not bad. He's not bad. Let's go to, before we get to final thoughts, why are you smiling, Carter? Carter looks so happy.
Carter put a bunch of money on Most Improved Player of the Year, Moses Moody.
Did he?
Before the season started.
Yeah, Carter likes to just throw his money away. Just saying. He makes some terrible bets. Terrible.
Wow.
Big Smooth. Big Smooth in Oakland. What's happening?
Hey, Big Smooth.
Oh, man. Hey, first of all, I want to welcome back all the Warrior fans who vowed to never watch again as long as Draymond Green was on the team. So thank you guys for coming back. I also want to say, Shasky, I thank you.
It's always fun.
I just heard you say, hey, Shasky, I love you because you said, man, you said before the season, you didn't like this Warriors roster, that we needed Lurie soft tissue marketing, but I just heard you say you love the Warrior roster. So thank you for coming around. You are a man of principle. You will admit when you were off. Man, this Warrior roster, as I said, was the deepest team bar none. And I don't mean William Floyd bar none. And here's what I think. You keep running these 12, 13 people out. This is going to get them wins. We need to just stack up wins. We know how this thing works. And then when we get to the end, if you want to start forming, you know, if you want to start condensing the roster, we get it. You know, because we know playoff time is going to be different. But for right now, run these horses. Let them run.
Big Smooth.
Stack up the wins.
Big Smooth.
Yes, sir.
Are you happy that the Warriors didn't make? Because I told Lakin to his face. I said, I'm happy.
Badge of honor.
No. It's just,
Lakin, you come here. Let me tell you to your face.
You know, it's just small talk. And I was like, you know, Danny Ainge being Danny Ainge. But Big Smooth, I was, as much as you, I was happy as hell they didn't get Paul George and Larry Markkanen. I wanted to see what this roster looked like. And then visit something later down the line.
But listen, didn't you see the look on Markkanen's face? What the Warriors went against them.
That's great.
It just made me rejoice. I'm like, this dude doesn't. He's just frustrated. The Warriors have been taking out the big game. Yep. If you notice, man, they've been taking them out one by one. And Bonte, man, I'm gonna show you how much power you have. I use the term buddy buckets. You said I like that. Now all I hear on your station is buddy buckets, man. Yep. You're a powerful dude, man. You got juice, baby.
Even Fitz used it, man. I said it on the little fourth quarter. I said buddy buckets. And Fitz is like, oh, I like that. Hey, let's go.
I said, look at Bonte. I said, the power of Bonte. All he got to do is mention it one time. And it's going to now steep over to ESPN.
I wish I had some sort of power within my own household, but, you know,
Big Smooth, will you meet me here on this year's team? Like, I'll be the first to admit
it. What you got, Jeff?
No,
man.
But this is what I say. Like, and I said this morning, and I'll say it again for the audience that's just tuning in now. Draymond at times drives me crazy. Actually, a lot. He drives me crazy.
I see
the value. We all see the value. But, like, I mean, enough is enough at times. I really was like, there's no way this guy's going to be a changed man. And so if I'm going to come out and critique him and rip him and all that stuff, and then when I see him, now it's 2 weeks. I'm not saying it's a full season. But when I truly see growth and maturity and him empowering the young guys, he put his arm around Pajemski after a horrible possession where Pajemski shoots an air ball late in the shot clock. It was just no one touched it but him. And instead of berating him, he like put his arm around him and like hit him on the shoulder. When I see him talking up Kuminga, and when I see him with Steph Curry out being the leader I've been demanding and begging him to be, it's like, you know what? I got to give the guy credit. I got to give him credit. And so that's why I'm buying
in. I think it had a lot to do with that last suspension. I think the writing is on the wall. We don't see it, but I think it was discussed. Hey, man, this is your last chance. Hey, you get real reflective, man, when that paycheck is on the line, mm-hmm. when that career after broadcasting. I mean, look at Rod Artest. I'm sure he could be a good podcast or whatever, but sometimes, man, you'll use too many bones out there.
No doubt.
Good call, Big Smooth.
And look, man. Did you pay your credit card bill last month?
Yeah.
Or you pay your credit card bill on time, right? All the time?
Yeah.
Just make sure you got money in April, man. House of Prime Ribs calling my name. Sounds like you believe, like me, he's going to be playing 65 games this season, buddy.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last
last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Don't be late on the pavements, brother. Javon, Day-Day playing at least 65 this year.
I mean, they played six games, and this guy's throwing a ticker-tape parade straight down Van Ness to House of Prime Rib.
Six games up, six games down. Javon's been in all of them. Now we count down. What does he have to play now? 59 more games. Try the next over this one, because he'll be available against the Wizards. My final thought is, what's going on in Philadelphia? Marcus Hayes writes for the Philadelphia Inquirer, wrote a nasty column. I thought it was nasty. You bring up Joel Embiid's late brother, you bring up his son, and Embiid was ticked off Friday, saying, you know, I've done so much for this damn city. What the hell is going on here? And then Saturday, he pushed the reporter, Marcus Hayes, in the locker room. And Chesko, we've had this conversation. This is to be expected in new media now, with reporters saying whatever they want to say. We can't just talk about a player's family. That's out of bounds. Completely out of bounds. Out of line. I will ban Marcus Hayes from the locker room for the rest of the season. Now, do I like Embiid pushing this guy? No, I don't. But I also don't like a column referencing his late brother and his son. That was whack.
So, in a little outside the box here, but, you know, there are certain things that happen in life that remind you of just embracing the now and telling people that are very important to you in your life that you love them. All right. And so my little thought to everybody is that if there's someone who means something to you, when you have those interactions with them, go out of your way and tell them how important they are to your life and tell them that you love them, because you just never know what's going to happen. And, you know, for those that are out there struggling in anything or whatever, or you haven't talked to a family member in a long time because you feel like you've been scorned or whatever, is it really worth it? Like, pick up the phone, hit them up, and tell them you love them and move on. It's just not worth chain smoking hate, if you will. So, Sam, I'll throw it to you.
That's very well said, Shasky. My final thought is, my Miami Hurricanes might have the worst defense of a top four team ever. It is, they're able to hold out, beat Duke, which is great, because Duke was not as good as that 6-2 record suggested. But yeah, when they start playing the real big boy teams, oof, yeah, when you're giving up big plays like that. They had one touchdown they gave up to Duke where they did a quick juke to the right, the guy goes left, gets the ball. You had three guys covering the wrong guy, Duke receivers wide open. It's just a mess on defense for my Canes right now. But hey, thank God for Cam Ward, best player in college football right now.
Outside of Shador Sanders.
That's three mic false starts right there.
I know. I'm turning to Shasky. Quicker than you know it.
Carter.
All right. First of all, my worst bets of the year have been on Florida State for the first 3 weeks of the season, so I don't want to hear from you.
Leave them alone. Leave them alone.
Secondly, I'm not really understanding why Lamar Jackson gets so much love. He's really, really good. He's amazing, obviously. But people just praise his feet. Can the guy just get to one Super Bowl? He doesn't even have to win it. Can he just make it to the Super Bowl? I mean, look at what the Chiefs have done. He's had no weapons. They got there last year. He's won it. Lamar has more weapons than him and Josh Allen this year. If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, no excuses left for the guy.
Sound like a young kid. I'm going to let you get away with that take.
Don't say Lamar Jackson is better than Ray Lewis. That's just crazy.
It's a bad take.
Crazy.
It's a bad take.
Look, Ray Lewis did the deer antler spray the week of the Super Bowl, so he's just that guy.
Has two rings, though.
Oh, God.
Now we just get to a Super Bowl. Just get there. How are you, Carter?
31.
Yeah, the take makes a lot of sense. Now it's Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity at Home. We're on the go. You get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Did I hear Sam Lovins do a Warriors post tonight?
I am. Apparently no one's available, so.
Oh, damn.
The bottom of the barrel's being scraped.
Boy, Sam Lovins do a Warriors post game after the Wizards. Go take a nap, buddy. Oh, I'll be listening in the car. Evan Giddings, throw to Guru Johnson next right here on 95.7 The Game.
Florida State football right now. Ooh.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.